For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, what do we got planned today, Motorator? We got some hot Newman Porsche talk. We take a pretty deep dive into the newest Newman Porsche in the collection. You're talking about my QX80.
Yeah,
you're
driving the Volvo. SUV, checking out the Volvo.
Yeah, bad TV commercials, bad Netflix, bad car shows on Netflix and everywhere else. All these stupid car channels.
There's some strong
stupid
feelings.
Car shows.
Some strong feelings there.
I erupt in a ball of emotion, unbridled emotion, but they deserve it because they're doing crap.
Yeah.
All right. First, I'll tell you about JB Weld. JB Weld, for big or small repair projects at home, in the garage, you need something that lasts. We're proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesives as our sponsors. Keep JB Weld in your toolbox, kitchen drawer, craft room. Good for metal, wood, plastic, and more. I think that about covers all the materials you can put together with JB Weld. Made in the USA. Pros and DIYers have trusted JB Weld for more than 50 years. I've always used JB Weld as a metal repair in the garage, and now they're making everything. So they make the polyurethane stuff.
Yeah.
I think they got
the high temp stuff.
They have the high temp stuff. They have the low foam polyurethane stuff. Anyone use that Gorilla stuff? It like foams
too much.
Yeah, it's weird. They don't warn you about that, but they have the low foam stuff. Also, they have the super glues. It's all good stuff. It's a great company. It's all available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, and you can get it at O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon. JB Weld, world's strongest pawn. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt Corral. It's Matt the Motorator. Good Matt over there. Matt the Motorator, Andrea.
Hello.
Hello, man. Lots going on in the car world. I want to thank everyone for listening to Castrol CarCast. Get to many, many things. My head's a buzz. A buzz with cars. Cars buzzing around in my brain. First, I will tell you the CarCast brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar is the ultra-thin, high-temperature coating. Reduces radiant heat by 90%. And you put Zybar on, you take the heat off, and you learn more at Zycoat.com. Okay.
I think in between podcasts, you need to allow yourself a little bit more buffer time so you can check car auctions and bring a trailer. There's not enough. In between, you pop out, you're like, what happened on bring a trailer? What happened here? What's going on with this auction? What's the price? There's not enough time. There's never enough time.
I got an email from Les, and I will get emails from Les where he'll go, can you forward this invoice to Linda? I scroll right past those.
Yeah.
And then I'll get the one where he'll go like, do you have an extra Roadster block? And I scroll right past those.
Yeah.
But once in a while, I get one from Les where it goes, I got a Newman car.
Yeah.
And then I go, oh? And then I call him back immediately.
And be like, I don't. I have an invoice instead.
Well, if he were smart, that's how he'd do it. But he's not shrewd enough for that. So he found a Newman car, which is a, the Newman cars can be broken into a few, there's a bunch of categories. So let's see if we can figure it out. And then we can kind of figure out what's most interesting. So there's the early iteration stuff, like the TR6, mm-hmm. which we own, like the 510, which was destroyed essentially, but I have the logbook for it. But it was destroyed, yeah. and naturally aspirated 240Zs and stuff that I don't have those cars. Then there's like your C production stuff that the nut job on the East Coast has, which is like 280Z. Those cars are not, I don't know. You tell me. I find a 510 in full race trim to be very aesthetically pleasing. I like the way those cars look. And then there's sort of the top of the food chain, the 935s and the 2+2 turbo cars, big slicks. And I like those as well. The aesthetic that I probably least like are like the C production Z, which is like 14-inch by 6-inch rims.
Right.
Has a little bit of a stock, a little showroom stock to it, even though it's a full-blown race car.
Yeah.
But it's naturally aspirated. And it's like a little, neither fish nor fowl. Like, it I don't know what group you would, I know what group you would run it in, but you'd be up against Decon Monzas and 935s, and you wouldn't be that competitive. It's too much car to run with the B sedans and the Alphas and the 510s. So that's
obviously today, vintage racing today, there was a place for it before.
Yeah, C production. Yeah. Right. But right. And those cars for me are a little less wow factor. Like, sort of when you get up on them and you see them in person, they look a little tinny. Like, the wheels are a little skinny or something. The car that Les is looking for, and it's in a million pieces, and I think it just has the tube frame. But there was a class of Newman cars in between that sort of C production car and the GT1 cars that I have.
Okay,
there was a 280ZX Turbo. There's a couple of those. This is the one. Those are the cars that Electromotive would dominate with.
What years?
Those would have been like 83, 82, 83. In between the 79, 80 sort of C production stuff and then the mid-80s, 84, 85, GT1, there was the turbo 280Zs, a turbo straight six.
Yeah.
Some of them,
and your 300s, your champion, your GT1 champion.
In between those two, there some of them were tub cars, and one or two were probably full tube frame cars. We saw on the internet somebody shot us an Instagram or something of one of those things being shaken out about a year ago. That's a turbo 280ZX.
Yeah.
Probably tub car, but big tire, big turbo. So a fun car, and I don't have any of those.
Yeah.
So
why not?
Well, they don't make many of them. There's a couple of guys who have them. I don't know that they want to sell them.
Yeah.
And the car Les has found is just it's a tube frame car, so you have the frame. Yeah. And you know, various bits and pieces go along with it, but it's a mess. I mean, it's not a finished product.
And then there's this category of Newman cars where he's driven them once or twice, and here and there the Ferrari we heard about.
Then there's a weirder top of the food chain, which is a Spice Oldsmobile powered C, not C production, but C class or whatever, different class. Group C versus C production. That's what I want to say. C production is kind of low food chain. Group C is top food chain stuff. And he drove it at Daytona one time or whatever. There's like a few of those cars out there.
Yeah. When are we going to get into this? When are we going to talk about this car that's in the mail? on its way. Do we wait till it gets here?
Oh, the Porsche?
The Porsche.
Yeah, no, I think we can talk about that car. I'm fine with talking about that car. I'm excited to receive that car. I can tell you guys, since we're on the subject, we're going to be in Portland, World of Speed Motorsports Museum. Wait, am I going to be there or are you going to be there?
We're both going to be there.
And together. You know who else is going to be there? Mario Andretti. So yeah, we're going to be doing a live podcast or car cast there with Mario, and that'll be August 30th.
There's a car show.
There's a car show.
Bring your cars.
Bring your cars.
Bring, stick around for us.
Bring your ears and your cars, and we will be there with Mario Andretti August 30th. So there's that. There's the Porsche. Want to talk about the Porsche?
I do want to talk about the Porsche, but probably I should tell you guys a little bit about Geico before we do, because it's you're going to get momentum.
Yes,
you're going to get momentum. Geico, guys, everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning, pick up some milk, and now you can add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
All right. So there's a Porsche, which is an interesting piece. It's a 74. It was...
It's a 911S.
911S, 74, was converted with the big fenders and big flares and all that stuff. If you watch the Newman doc, you can see him driving it, sort of home movie footage of him driving it around at Willow Springs, and he's coming back into the pit and he's starting it up and then taking off again. And you can see it coming around the corner. They even have some in-car footage of him driving it around Willow. It was a Porsche Audi sponsored, like Beverly Hills Porsche Audi.
Yeah, Beverly Hills.
And I think Bill Freeman was the partner's name on it. Kind of to be fair, if you look at it now, it says Newman Freeman, like racing, like on the sun.
Yeah,
sun
on the window sticker.
On the window sticker up top. If you look at stuff from the day, it just says Bill Freeman on there. I don't know. Newman's name keeps getting grafted on to stuff it wasn't on.
It's fine.
Wasn't on before. But Newman's name was on the car. Newman drove it. I think the story is he drove it officially at Sebring.
Yes.
With Freeman. They came in, that would have been 77 Sebring. They came in 30th overall and I think 11th in the GT class. So nothing spectacular, but they finished a 12-hour endurance race. And Sebring, God, when you look at some of those races back in the day, they'd have 75 cars would enter that race. So 25 wouldn't finish or whatever. So, you know, nothing glorious, but ran Sebring, finished Sebring, did the 12 hours, came in 11th in the GT category with Newman and Freeman driving. Evidently, and as documented in Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman, when he came out to the West Coast, they'd take that car out, take it to Willow Springs, and he'd go do some laps in it. So I don't know if he was using it to prepare for Sebring. I don't know if he was using it to kind of get used to a rear engine car. I don't know if he was just having fun at Willow while he'd be out here filming a movie or something. They'd bring that car out. But that was sort of, I guess, his kind of West Coast knock-around track car.
So we've got documentation and proof and video and stuff of Newman being in this car, racing this car, having seat time in this car. But the logbooks really come down to like the one real race. But that being said, this car has quite a bit of racing experience. Not necessarily the best results, but for many years, this car was raced by a couple of different teams. It's restored back in the Newman Freeman livery. It is white with, I want to say, pink and something stripes on it.
It's very of the time. Like, it's very 70s. It's got kind of that Camel GT pace car vibe to it, which is like it's very era specific. This is like a pink and a brown and an orange.
I want to say it's probably 395-ish horse. Does that sound right? Probably under four.
Probably. I'd say 395. I don't know. That might be a little generous in that motor. I'd have it closer to like 350.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the naturally aspirated kind of vintage Porsche, you know. I mean, I know guys are taking RSRs and boring them and stroking them and making big cheater motors kicking the shit out of them. But I tend to think this one's closer to 3 than it is to 4.
I think it was advertised at 395, but that could have been the race spec in its day, not necessarily right now.
Yeah, or maybe it does.
I don't know. It's a good looking car, and it's going to be on a truck soon, on its way from the southeast. And on its way
and
here,
it, and
the newest car in the collection.
It'd be a fun car to take to the track. And, you know, the guys at Laguna Seca who drive those RSRs, like the Hotchkiss brothers and stuff like that, they get around that track just fine in those cars.
Yeah.
They're fast. And it's probably not as good on a big track like Road Atlanta, but a track more like Laguna Seca. There's no reason why you can't get that car in there and hang with some of the big boys, because they handle, they have a lot of rubber, and they're a little lower horsepower, but they're high winding and they work.
And that big group with the 935s and the Monza and all that, you're definitely not at the front of that pack. You just don't have the horsepower for it.
You're not, but you can be. You can hang in the top 10 if
as long as you get in front of that really loud RX-7. The one RX-7 that's screaming.
Yeah.
Screaming. It doesn't look like it's going real fast, but it sounds like a banshee out there.
Is that guy in our class?
I think he is. I think I've seen him in that class.
Because
the M1 Pro cars.
I think that guy or those guys are going off the next day with the Turbo Z cars and the Whistler Mustangs and the Roush Capris. I think, and the Oldsmobile Cutlasses. I think those guys are in the Sunday run group. I think.
What were you racing when you race against him?
Max Zapata. You got to look at run group 5B for Laguna Seca last year. I get people say, well, not people, but some people would always go, what's the schedule? What's the schedule? What's the schedule? And then I'd go, I don't know. They go, well, they haven't put the schedule out. And I go, I know, just look at last year. If they do it the same every year. Like, why? You don't need that. You don't need a bunch of answers for when is the schedule coming out. Just go back, look at last year, and that's the schedule for this year. That's how they do it.
Yeah. And last year, you ran the Z car because we did the show with Nissan.
Right.
And then the year before that was the 935.
Right.
And this year will be the 935.
That is correct. And hopefully we have our extensive suspension issues solved. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But I'll bet you if you look in Sunday's run group B, you should see a bunch of Roush Mustangs and a 300ZX Millen car and some cars of that nature, more modern-ish. Probably some Oldsmobile Cutlass. And I think you'll see that RX-7 in that group.
Yeah.
That's
you could probably end up finding just looking for the RX-7 in Monterey, and this guy will come up.
Yeah, the RX-7s are, I learned it at a very young age. I had a friend named John, and he had a stepdad named Jim. And Jim was a good dude, and he had a VW bus, and he was a real competitive cyclist. He liked to ride his bike. He rode his bike to work. Like, he was one of these guys that lived in North Hollywood, and he like worked in Northridge, and he rode his bike, his 10-speed, like every single day, just like 21 miles, like there and back, you know? Like, it was that dude.
Okay.
But he was a good dude. And as you know, my dad was a sea sponge. Like, there's nothing to do with my dad. But I would go, motorcycle riding with Chris Bohm's dad. He would take us out to the desert, you know, or I went to the Long Beach Grand Prix when they ran F1 with Jim.
Yeah.
And John, you know, like other people's dads or stepdads would go, oh, I'll go to the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach and come with me. You know, I go, okay.
Yeah, and sounds good.
My shitty parents wouldn't give me $4 for a hot dog. I just go and like that poor guy had to pay for everything. You know, my parents are such sacks of shit. Anyway, I went to the 6-hour Los Angeles Times Grand Prix at Riverside, like in like 1982 or something like that. By the way, that's the one where Rolf Stumlin died in his 935, I think in like 83. I could have been there. I don't know, 82, 83, somewhere in there. And I stood on the bridge on like the back straight. I just have these sort of vague memories of it. And along that straight, the turbo 935 Porsches would come by. I don't know, probably Rolf Stumlin and his 935 Porsche. And those things would just be going 200 miles an hour, and they'd just be going. They just sound like a spaceship going by. Yeah. And then an RX-7 would come punk by.
It's just screaming for dear
life. And it was going like 136 miles an hour, but it was like
screaming.
I remember like holding my ears. And I remember at that point going, oh, that's all I need to know about Porsches and Mazdas. The Mazda was absolutely screaming, and the Porsche was just sound like a vacuum cleaner, like in the next room with the door closed.
But
it was just hauling ass.
Oh my gosh! And seeing them up at Monterey now, and you see that car, you hear it coming. And you're like, this thing's going to be flying around the corner. And the guy drives it hard, but it's not really flying around. Not compared to all the cars that just went in front of him.
Well, they did. They won some races for sure. And let's not forget our good buddy Tommy Kendall.
Tommy Kendall.
He's putting it back together has put it back together.
Maybe it's going to come out this year. The featured mark is IMSA. So I thought the plan was
threatening to do it. I don't know who he's going to pay to drive that thing because he can't. That's too much car for Kendall.
That's
too much car for TK. Max Patty, do you find out where an RX-7 would be at?
I'm looking at 2018. The WeatherTech Raceway, their website's all weird right now, and it's all page not found with all of the lineup. So we're trying to find old emails.
Maybe start with the RX-7. Just search for RX-7 Monterey.
Okay.
And because it's very likely, like, this particular one we're talking about is the one that's going to come up.
I got a vexing question for you.
Yeah.
I want to know a couple things. I'm driving, the Infiniti QX80, which is a big truckster.
Yeah.
And I'm digging sitting up high. And I got the girls in there. I took Natalia and two of her friends to Malibu last weekend, and felt kind of good. Everyone to like pile in versus squeeze in.
Very easy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And step down when he got out, and they all just piled in, and they're like, oh, there's TV sets and the headrest and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And we just had a nice, comfortable family truckster kind of ride out to the beach. I got into it this morning, and I had a radio interview to do, and so I got in, I hit dial, I started driving, because the way my schedule is I pack everything into everything. So if you want to do a radio interview, that'll be in my car on my way to somewhere.
Sure.
And I noticed, as I turned the phone on and hooked it up to the Bluetooth or whatever it was, I noticed a sound of like a fan, like, you know, and I was like, oh, I don't want that for the guy. So I hit like, turn the fan down. I turned the fan down.
Yeah,
and
it was
like,
AC. Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm still hearing this fan buzz. So I was like, all right, I'm turning the climate control off. I'm turning everything off. And I was like, turn it all off. I just heard this. And I was like, there's no defroster going. The system is shut. Where's this coming from? And then the whole interview, I was just obsessed with the dashboard.
Yeah.
Trying to hit like different buttons to get, I was turning the thing, every knob down, everything off. Everything's off. nothing's lit up, no anything, and it's this buzz of a fan.
It's the cooled seats. Maybe you can hear the seats.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't shut the seats. Maybe it's I was so seat. Obsessed with this system.
Yeah, because when everything's super quiet, you can hear air blowing through the seats.
That's Try why that. You're the moderator. Max Pattis says what?
Well, I was looking at, there's someone took a picture of one of them in 2016, but that was a 1992 car, so there's no way it could have been that, so I took it off your screen.
Older. I think the car is white and blue.
But the, yeah, there on, was an on, RX-7.
It was a 1992 car?
Yeah, so here.
Yeah, that can be in the B run. That can.
So this says it was in group 5B. That's what the caption of this saying, right. But then I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, no way. So
it's not the one I was thinking of.
No, no, that's we're looking at a Group C type car.
Yeah, we're looking for a sports car.
We're looking for an RXM. But Max Pata, it can be a 1992 car. Why can't it be a 1992 car?
I thought in Group 5B it's like 60s, 60s, 70s.
No, it shouldn't be. Unless I got my groups screwed up and you're talking about Trans Am. Sorry, but no, 92 would be the year of the Mazda RX-7.
Okay, then, but that the one I put up was not the one you're thinking.
You're
of.
Not looking at an RX-7.
That's
yeah. The caption says a 1992 Mazda RX-7 driven by Weldon Muncy from Irvine in Group 5B.
Yeah, we're looking for more like a sports car. It's going to look like a street car, not a crazy.
I don't know why they labeled what we just saw an RX-7.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's powered. It's got the same power plant, but that was a full.
That was full. Like
prototype.
Yeah.
That's why I took it off your screen.
Yeah, no, all I gotcha. Right.
But 92 will be fine.
Okay.
Unless I got my groups screwed up. And sometimes they move them around. So don't get married to 5B. But it'll be the group that goes off at 2 o'clock on Sunday that we try to avoid.
All right.
Let me hit the Zycote. Heat. It's the enemy of speed. Did you know that, Matt?
Yes, I did.
They have a revolutionary high temp coating. It dissipates heat, increases performance of manifolds, headers, exhausts, turbos, and intakes. All the stuff that gets super hot underneath that hood, you want to scrub that heat off, man. Zybar coats the metal surface, and it doesn't allow it to absorb the heat. And when you dissipate that heat, then you can turn up the boost. So you can't run boost. The more heat, the less boost. The more boost, the more horsepower. And that's why it's all about cooling. I mean, if you look like John Hotchkiss brought his 962 over here, his turbo 962. I looked at that engine. It's a miniature engine with coolers everywhere. It's like the engine is in the middle of the car. And it's the size of you taking a small piece of Samsonite luggage and laying it down flat on the floor. Like, there's nothing to the engine, and everything else is a radiator in an intercooler. Because all they do is cool that engine, and then they just keep turning up the boost.
Yeah.
That's how it works. So you need to cool it. Zybar increases horsepower, torque, reduces metal surface and under hood temperatures. And our listeners who aren't do-it-yourselfers can visit Zycote.com, click on the coating services, send it in. They'll coat it professionally and send it back to you. So they'll do the coating for you.
Anywhere in the world.
At Zycote.com. It's good stuff. We just did my brake ducts on the 935 with it.
Looks good. Chris, I just sent you a link to your phone.
That's why they call them good Matt.
And it might help you on the car that I believe we are talking about. And this is what I did. Google searched. I searched loud RX-7 at Rolex Historics.
Wow.
And
you got something good.
And all the pictures came up. And you tell me this is what we're thinking of.
So, and I'm pretty sure that guy don't run in my group. Because my group is like 73 through 81, and that guy's driving like an 89 or a 92 or whatever it is. He doesn't run in my group for the same reason Steve Millen doesn't run in that group.
But you've run against him in something.
I will, if that's your memory, I will not deny you.
Did we bring
that memory?
The Oldsmobile out once?
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
All right.
I remember sitting up on top of the suite with Sonny, and Sonny flinching every time the RX-7 comes screaming around the corner. And he's like, why is that one so loud? I said, because it's trying the hardest, Sonny.
Yeah, maybe you should be a little louder, son.
There you go. So 2017's results are still up on the website. Okay. So I have Joel Miller, number 62, which is the car that you sent me, Matt.
Yeah.
Out of Irvine, he's in 7B.
7B.
That's a 1973.
B is always Sunday, though. Okay, 7B. Yeah. And who else is running in that group, or what else? Roush Mustangs, Capris, 300 ZX turbos.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Show us
Pontiac
the car.
Firebird.
Let's make sure we got the right.
Yeah, that's the group we're talking about.
Yeah,
it's a cool piece.
It is a cool piece.
But again, that is the B run group.
Yeah, look at the tire he got in the back. He got some meat.
Oh, it's got some big fat meat.
Yeah,
he got some big.
That car's fun to watch, though. That guy drives it.
Oh, that guy's hauling ass.
So much fun to watch.
His best lap's a 131.6. Yeah. That's moving.
We're joking about it, but it's not slow. This guy moves this thing around the track a lot.
Like, anybody in the sub 135s is driving.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
And that's a crazy category to be in. You know, the Firebirds and the Mustangs and the Cutlass. See, there's the Cutlass. And the Camaros and stuff. Like, it's a cool
fast class.
Yeah, it's a fast class. So this Porsche.
Before you get into it, I will say I found this before you texted me, Matt.
I know.
I don't want your text to negate all the things that I found.
Listen, bad Chris.
Wait a minute.
Well, what if we hire another guy named Chris?
That's true.
Yeah, he's already prepared.
We want to prepare.
Oh, man.
That's why what I do is I look down the road. I prepare. All right. So what do you got, sir?
So I was saying the Porsche that you've got coming on the way, I feel like a good competitor to that car would be like an M1 Pro car.
Yeah.
You know, like horsepower performance, like a good head-to-head battle naturally, would be like the Pro car.
They're both naturally aspirated sixes.
Yeah.
They're both tub cars. Mm-hmm. They both have probably running about the same size tire. And yeah.
Your second Porsche. You're a Porsche guy now. You're officially a Porsche guy.
I know. Lufthansa Cult.
Lufthansa Cult. You're going to bring that out maybe next year. We'll get
speaking of M1 Pro cars, I have to torture myself all the time thinking about missing my M1 Pro car.
I don't even like to bring up that story because it's saddening.
You know, there are two things I torture myself with.
Yeah.
There's an M1 Pro car. And there's a warehouse that's on the other side of my warehouse. And both those things I was thinking of purchasing at a time when they were expensive, but not non-affordable like they are now, like unobtainable.
Yeah.
And both of those cars, both of those entities, the warehouse and then one Pro car.
Not the blonde model you used to date.
Oh. Miss her. I would have. I miss those three things. I miss those three. I would have bought the warehouse and I would have bought the Pro car.
Yeah.
Probably. If not for getting misinformation on both of them that was built up in the wrong way.
The warehouse was
something like. I don't remember the numbers, but the warehouse was something like the warehouse is $3 million and it comes with a huge parking lot that's next to your other warehouse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I remember going, it comes with the parking lot?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, comes with that parking lot. The one next to my warehouse? Yeah. So I could use that parking lot for that warehouse because right next to my, yeah.
Yeah.
I said, why does a parking lot come with the thing? The warehouse is
across the street.
It's on the other side. Well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I was like, It's $3 million. Yeah. Sound like that expensive with the parking lot. And the guy's like, yep. And then like 2 days later, I talked to the guy and he's like, okay, just for clarification, the warehouse is $4 million and it doesn't come with the parking lot. And I was like, oh. And so I was like, oh, well, screw it then.
Screw
like
it.
It still would have been a good thing to have, but because it was told to me that way, seemed bad, and that Frank Stella M1 Pro car, where I like called the auction house and I was like, what do you think? What's the estimate?
What's the estimate?
And the guy said, I'd say 300 to 400. And I said to him, wait a minute. That's the price of an M1 Pro car, or maybe a little less.
Yeah.
This is an art car.
Yeah.
This is an M1 Pro car, Frank Stella, art car. How could it be the price of just a straight M1 Pro car? And he went, that's where we have it. Like, that's what we're thinking. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm in.
Sounds I'm good. In. And I was at the track and I was racing, but Sandy was back like on the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, where are we at? And he's like, we're at 400. I'm like, where are we now? 500. And where are we now? 600. I'm like, where are we now? 700. And I was like, oh, I'm out. Forget it. No more.
Yeah.
The guy said 350 to four. Now, that car's worth $5 million.
But before you made that phone call,
I should have paid 850.
Before that, you made that phone call, what'd you think the guy was going to say on the phone? Before 300 to 400, you thought he was going to say six?
I had no real idea of what the pro of what the art
yeah.
car was
and this
worth.
This was a long time ago.
It was so like 2011.
Like it was, you know, yeah. And in the vintage car world, those cars were, you're right. I mean, it's like, what is that car now? It's just, it's.
Well, I can tell you now that just because I like to torture myself, I just Googled in. M1 Pro car for sale. There's not many. I've always loved those cars, and there is one in Europe. And I told Matt, just go find out what a standard M1 Pro car is. And he hit the guy in Europe, and he said 113. So 1,100,000, 30,000, you know, yeah. Whatever. I guess you could get it for $1 million. I guess.
Yeah.
But that's what a pro car.
Yeah. Not a Frank Stella art car.
No. No. But I could have had an art car for 800.
Yeah.
And 50. And who knows? I have no idea what that car's worth. I have no idea. I do know that both those deals were queered by misinformation.
Yeah.
And by the way, when I'm talking to you, and I say to you for a third time, it comes with the parking lot? That's your time to stop. That's your time to go, you know what? Let me double check. And instead of, yes, 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 it does. Yes, it does. Yeah. And when I say to you, Bonham's guy on the phone, wait a minute, 400 is what a M1 Pro car goes for. This is an M1 Pro car art car. That can't be the same price. That's your opportunity
to go.
To
let me call you back
and
let
go.
Me, let
you
me
know
call
what?
You back. Let me
let
ask.
Me talk to my parking lot guy and see if we can find some truth. That is your opportunity to stop. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Let me tell you guys about Castrol Edge.
Oh, it's devastating.
Heat, friction, and viscosity—they break down. And they rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge is engineered with fluid titanium technology. It physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. This helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. It's three times stronger.
Three times, fool!
Against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine.
All right. Now so I'm driving around. So it was probably the seats I had on the whole time.
The seat. Try it.
No, it's interesting because I was driving around. I was doing this radio interview. Yeah. I was obsessed with the.
Yeah. And where is that coming from?
And I was like, I kept shutting off every fan and everything I could find on the dash. But I also simultaneously had this thought, which is, it is pretty cool
it
in this
is,
car,
yeah,
considering I've turned all the air off. But
it's a June gloom.
That's what
June
did
gloom.
It. Now you're driving the Volvo S60.
I am.
I'm becoming a fan of Volvos now. I like the design. I like the way they're a little bit muscular. I like the way they look. I like the commercials where that terrorist is writing his daughter a letter from the back seat of his car and starting to cry. I like that.
Jeez.
So yeah, but. God, is that guy a pussy? He's sitting around thinking about his daughter and his Volvo. How about you turn a hot lap, puss? Instead of sitting around thinking about your daughter getting married and composing a letter.
Yeah.
know my letter's going to read to my daughter when she gets married? How much? What's this going to cost me? I know it ain't free. What's it going to cost?
Yeah. How much is the wedding? What do I got to sell to pay for this thing?
Guy sitting there holding the tears back, writing a letter to his daughter and his Volvo.
Yeah. Just
put that thing in track mode and see if you can break it loose.
Do you think you have to... Do you think Natalia is going to be like all in on a big wedding, or be like, here's a couple of bucks to not do the wedding? What would you prefer?
I don't know. I know... Not only did I get screwed on this pro car and this warehouse deal, I got screwed on my wedding because every single time, every story I ever heard about a wedding was, who pays for the wedding? The father of the bride pays for the wedding. I not only paid for the wedding, I bought that guy's casket too. I went soup to nuts with my father-in-law. Man, I paid for everything.
Jesus,
I didn't know I was going to be paying for everything. I thought, the dad like kicks in and pays for this.
Yeah. No.
Not so much. No art car. No free cake. It's a rough life for me.
Yeah.
I mean, see if you guys can get by without a warehouse and an art car and a triple decker cake. Good luck.
Yeah.
Damn it. They say I have white privilege. I don't know. I don't have an M1 art car.
You don't have an M1 art car.
I don't have a parking lot.
No.
That's rough.
You buried $13,000 and the guy.
Oh, my God. I wasn't crying until I heard how much the casket was, and then I broke down.
It's like Adam's really taking it tough.
He's dropped to his knees. He's yelling, no.
No.
He's now yelling, take me, and running toward the casket.
He's just standing there with his arms up like
Defoe.
Yeah.
All right. What about that? What about that Volvo you're driving?
So I'm driving the Volvo, and it seems good. And they printed out this spec sheet for me, which is you can't read it because it's all blurry. So you try to break down the specs. It's 250 horsepower, 2 liter.
It's an S60. What is that thing? Now Volvos used to have a straight five in them.
Yeah, they don't. It doesn't have that.
It's got a four.
But the weird...
We said a 2.2?
It's a 2 liter, four cylinder.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Turbo, 250 horse. And all-wheel they call
drive.
It the T5.
It looks good.
And then they call it, they have a T6 that has a 316 horsepower.
I like the Volvo it's SUVs good. Now. I like the
I want to try
sedans.
The SUV. Like, I like the sedan, but I want to...
They
try
look.
The SUV.
They look good. I mean, Volvo finally sort of went. We need to have a little tougher, more muscular, more masculine appearance. Now we'll put a dad crying in it to smooth it out. Writing a letter to his daughter. Can you find that stupid commercial with a Dumbo dad sitting there thinking about his daughter all day long? How about you think about some goddamn horsepower and some torque?
Right? I swear, these car commercials.
Or some paddle shifters or something. Instead of just sitting around like a pussy thinking about your daughter.
Now,
I'm going to write a letter to my daughter. Shut up. Write your fucking letter at home, by the way. Don't get in the car and start writing letters.
Yeah. I don't know. So far, it's been in for a few days. I'll get some more information about it, give you a little bit more driving impressions on it. But so far, this one's all-wheel drive. It seems good. It seems sporty. It doesn't seem like overly luxurious.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is like the R spec, and it's got a bunch of options, and it's $55,000. It's not even $60,000. I think it starts at probably $48,000.
We can find that commercial.
We have it.
And it, you know, it's good. It rides nice. It's good.
All right, let's see this commercial. He's sitting at a lighthouse.
Yeah, see, I like the look of that SUV. I want to drive that thing.
He's sitting in his car. He's composing a letter to his daughter.
Here we go. I've
been trying to prepare for this day. And I'm still not ready.
How about you prepare for some fucking specs on this car?
There will be moments in your life that we'll never be ready for.
By the way, this actor's gay, and he was practicing in front of the mirror with his boyfriend the night before. He doesn't have a daughter. Now he's crying. Can we get back to fucking Bondurai steel? And hey, Volvo, guess why we don't know what horsepower this car has? Because you hired a guy to write a letter to his daughter instead of tell us some fucking specs on your car.
And who is he talking to?
I don't know. He's talking.
Was he on the phone?
Maybe he's got air conditioned seats. Because that was me. I was going, what the fuck? Where's this fan noise coming from?
Yeah. Well, I'll drive that thing and I'll tell you the specs on it.
It's an. It looks good.
Yeah.
Once again, how would we know anything? I know about this guy's daughter. So we're like, hey, Adam, what do you know about the new Volvo? Well, I don't know any specs, but that guy's daughter's getting married.
That's right.
That his pretend daughter's getting married. That much I know.
What's going on with Subaru? Well, they do love puppies.
They like dogs.
They're all in on puppies.
Volvo's like daughters, and Subaru's like dogs.
Dogs.
Okay.
I swear, you go to the auto show, LA Auto Show, the Subaru booth is a petting zoo. It's got like a little white fence, and there's just dogs in there.
I'm not buying a dog or a daughter. I'm buying a fucking car. It drives me nuts, this notion of like, well, we're trying to speak to the good nature and every... How about we speak to fucking horsepower, torque, and weight?
Yeah, MPGs and
like
be okay.
Warranty, things like that, curb weight, dry weight, whatever. Yeah. Fine. Give me some fucking numbers. I'll buy a good car, and then I'll drive my daughter to the church in it.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. Jesus goddamn Christ. All right. Let me tell you about Tommy John.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Summer's heating up. Yeah. I was heating up until I was wearing my Tommy Johns. I was feeling that cool breeze on my seat this morning. Felt good. I'm wearing my Tommy Johns right now. Look at this. Write it down, man.
Yeah, you do.
I wear them every single day. I work out in them at night.
Swim in them.
I get a little hot in them, and then I hang them out. I just dry in my bathroom. I put them on the next day. I give it a shot of talc.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Freshen things up. Save the environment.
Okay.
Breathable, lightweight fibers. Keeps you 2 to 3 times cooler. Dries 4 to 5 times faster than regular cotton. Men's underwear have the contoured pouch. It's news to Mike August, but we know it here. Men's and women's underwear have the no wedgie guarantee. Legs don't ride up. Waistbands don't roll down. It's backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guarantee. It is Tommy John, right?
Yeah. Go to TommyJohn.com/carcast to save 20% on your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/carcast for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/carcast.
So what kind of horsepower, what do you think that thing's making, that Volvo?
The SUV? They got to be similar engines to the sedan.
Oh,
right?
No, I'm curious the sedan. You say you got 250 out of a 2 liter.
And then there's a 316 horsepower version.
And how many daughter letters per mile do you think we have there? Is that calculable? Guy just sitting alone talking to himself. If that guy existed in real life, he'd be an insane person.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit alone in my SUV at this White House, this lighthouse, and I'm going to just ruminate out loud.
Yeah.
I've never fully prepared for this.
He's a little weird because he's like looking at his pad and looking like outside the window, and I don't see anybody. I don't know who he's talking to. I was like, is he on the phone? It would have been funnier if somebody was yelling at him through CarPlay. Get on the road. You're going to be late.
Jesus, what have we turned into, man? It used to be, man, if you watch those 70s commercials for like Broncos or Blazers or something, there's a dude, he's got a hot chick, they're camping, he's four-wheeling it, he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, comes across a couple guys on motocross bikes, they give him like a thumbs up, and then he heads up the hill again.
Yeah. There's a few. Like, you watch the Dodge commercials, they're like, most horsepower in this class.
Dodge.
475 horsepower.
Dodge they're the last of the Mohicans, man. I mean, I see those Dodge trucks with the Ram head. Yeah. It's bigger than an actual Ram's head now. Like, a Ram's head's pretty big, but the fucking, the insignia on the back
on
of the
back.
Truck is like a huge block, and there's horns on the front. It's Ram, everything. And it's like, they ain't kidding.
Mm-mm. They want you to know what you're driving.
They want you to know
what
you're
driving. Everybody else to know what you're driving.
How much mileage have they, pardon the pun, have they got out of the word Hemi?
Oh, my gosh.
At some point, somebody went, it's a hemispherical head. And they went, Hemi.
Hemi.
And now they go, it's got a Hemi.
It's got a Hemi.
And everything they have has a Hemi in it. And everyone goes, holy crap, it's got a Hemi. Meanwhile, it's a V8 that's making the same horsepower as the Ford or the Chevy, but it's a Hemi.
They did the commercials with that.
And you know how they know it's a Hemi? Because right next to the huge Dodge Ram head is a huge plaque that says Hemi.
They had that commercial with the redneck guy, and he's like, it's got a Hemi.
Yeah, John.
What's his name? Funny guy.
Yeah, John. God, I'll think of that, yeah. The Hemi guy's name. Stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Where's Hopkins?
Lala? No.
Reap.
Yeah.
Reap.
John Reap. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Had a good show on. Like, he had like a Hillbilly Hoedown or whatever. We'd go race to hillbillies.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say that he hosted that show that like Bud Brutzman produced. It was like supercars versus redneck cars, and they shot it all in like a week, and it was just like people doing laps with GoPros. It was great.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Look, in a world where it's nothing but guys trying to fix cars with tattoos on their hands and argue, that's a fun show to watch. I'm so tired of these goddamn shows where, like, we got 3 days and $1,500 to convert this El Camino into an ice fishing truck or something. It's like, I'm not interested in that. Give me
Jesus.
You know what I want? I want to see that fucking RX-7 going around the track.
Yeah.
How about that? I want to hear that engine screaming.
Nate's all in on an ice fishing truck.
It's true. He's like, I could take some generic guitar and lay it right over the sound right of that Hemi.
Because the sound of fishing sucks.
Are you faster than a redneck?
Are you faster than a redneck? That makes sense. That was a good show. I like that show.
I watched the shit out of that show. I like John, and I thought that show was funny, and I had a good time watching it.
The whole thing was just based on numbers. It was like, which car is faster? Which car does... Like, that's what I loved about it. It was just all...
I don't want to... Here's what I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch a dad writing a letter to his daughter.
Yeah. Luckily, you don't have to for more than 30 seconds at a time.
And I don't want any more guys arguing and yelling, we're out of time.
Ugh.
In a fucking garage doing a build I don't give a shit about.
But there's never enough time.
I want a fucking show about vintage racing and cool cars.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Anybody wants that show, we'll make it for you.
We'll make you that fucking show, you idiots. Or you can make another stupid show because you car guys don't know shit about cars. All the guys who program these cars shows don't know anything about fucking cars.
No.
And it's one more fucking idiot arguing in a garage. Drives me nuts. Max Patti, you go to those fucking races. They're the coolest cars on the planet.
A feast for all senses.
A feast.
You don't...
Why wouldn't you want to capture that? Why? There's zero shows for that and 1,000 guys arguing in a garage.
You don't even need to be super into cars to walk around that track and go, look at that thing. It looks crazy. Or listen to it. Or smell it. Just any of it. Like the pieces of art that are out there.
If I got to see another fucking show where that some fat fucking 63-year-old tub of goo goes, when I met Margaret, I was driving a Maverick. Yeah. And so it's now our 42nd anniversary, and I want to surprise her with a bone stock Maverick. Okay. Or we could look at something good. You fucking assholes. Go get a good fucking car like that RX-7 or a 935 or a Decon Monza and show that.
Yeah.
Instead of fucking, oh, it's Margaret's anniversary and he's got to put this Maverick back together. They're running out of time because they ordered the wrong headliner.
He should have met Margaret at the racetrack.
And then the fat fucking couple stands in front of the fucking Maverick and she starts crying.
She wanted
put her in a Volvo and let her write a fucking letter to her fat fucking daughter, and you can watch that fucking show. Now, we're going to Goodwood.
Yeah.
How about that, bitches? Jesus Christ. Everyone who programs these fucking so-called car stations, they don't know shit. They don't know shit. If they knew shit, they'd be at Goodwood. They don't give a fuck. They're like a fucking vegan who's running a barbecue joint. They don't give a fuck. If they like fucking barbecue, they'd be at fucking Goodwood. Fucking assholes. Fire yourselves. Everyone fire yourself. Fuck you guys. You should be at fucking Goodwood, you assholes.
I know.
Instead of watching another guy argue in a fucking shop. You sicken me. You don't know shit about cars. You say you know something about cars. Netflix, you don't know shit about cars. Your fucking stupid shows you run. You don't know anything. You don't. You don't give a fuck. You don't know anything.
I'm ready for the good stuff.
You are not bringing it. fuck you guys. Do a good fucking show. As a matter of fact, just go to Chassis and watch our fucking show. We do a show that has cool cars in it.
We do have a show with cool cars on it. Is it a chassis? That
fucking
a
Netflix and that fastest car thing. It's such bullshit. It's fucking horrible. The guy's got a fucking, he's got a fucking bone stock Urcon. And he's going to race a guy in a tea bucket that he built in his garage in Pacoima. Fuck that. In a straight line?
Yeah.
Just give me a fucking break. But they don't know anything about cars, right?
Right.
Is that what's going on? The guys who program that shit don't know anything about cars.
Yeah.
They can't. They wouldn't put that shit on. Ugh. All right. I've said my piece. Now go to Chassis and watch Adam Carolla goes, or go to Vero and watch Adam Carolla goes racing, and you can see some actual fucking cars. Why do we want to watch a bone stock Urcon go in a straight line?
Yeah.
The 56-year-old mother of three had botched plastic surgery driving it. The fuck do we want that for?
Yeah, that's a different show, I think.
Ugh.
It could be.
Ugh.
Yeah.
The fucking... all right. You all sicken me. You sicken me. Everyone sickens me.
Yep.
Everyone but me sickens me. I may sicken me a little bit, but not as much as you guys do. The fuck are these guys doing? Why don't they just do a good car show?
I think more people need to speak out about it, so we'll stop doing it.
Stop
making those things.
Look, you go to Monterey, there's 100,000 people there.
Yeah.
You go to Goodwood, there's 200,000 people there. They have spoken. It's just the idiots at Netflix don't fucking know anything.
Yeah. By the way, you go to Monterey, there's 100,000 people. That's just at the track.
That's just at the fucking track.
That's not the other 20 events going on.
It's Coachella. The city, the whole city's packed.
It's just packed, and everything is fantastic there.
All right. You sicken me.
The lawn outside the track is another car show. It's like it's just another event.
We'll never see a show about that, but we'll see another fucking show about a fucking bone stock 488. Going in a straight drag line against a guy who's modified his Ranchero.
Yeah.
Blah. Jesus Christ. It's fucking unwatchable. I still watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?
You're
any
only
port in a storm. All right. JB Weld. That's what I want to say. Yeah. Now, you real car guys, you like JB Weld Epoxy Adhesives. They're one of our sponsors, and they're the best. You can get it at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly. It's JB Weld. You can watch me bitch and moan on stage at Helium Comedy Club coming up on the 19th and 20th. You can watch me doing Unprepared. That's in Portland. Then I'll be in Montclair and Pasadena and Agora Hills, Monterey.
Yeah.
Golden State Theater, August 17th, Unprepared. I'll be there doing stand-up. Well, Sonny's going to be there. Moderator's going to be there. Good times. You can check out microventures.com/Adam for Meme Gods and When We Went Mad, our two docs. You can be a part of those docs. Not Taco Bell material, my stand-up special. Go to Chassis or Vero and watch some good car stuff. Would you please?
Yeah.
Screw Netflix.
Do it.
F Netflix is what I have to say. Go watch some real shit. All right. What do you got, Motorator?
Yeah, check out the show from earlier this week with Goldberg and Shift and Steer.
So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.